If you got your Bibles, will you go quickly with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. And I'll take you through that chapter and head you into chapter 5 and read down to about verse number 13. A lot of preachers do what I'm getting ready to do and say what I'm getting ready to say. And I think sometimes it's used too frivolously and too lightly. And it really is not exactly right. But today, I think I can say what I'm about to say upon God's authority, His Bible. And it's going to... Today's message, if you'll hold it, if you'll take what I'm preaching today and live your life by it, your life will be totally changed. It will be affected in such a positive way if you take God's word and let it minister to you today. Because the subject I'm preaching on today is larger than anyone in this room. And if you have your Bibles with that little thought, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, and I'll read down through chapter 5. The Bible said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, and it is every day, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction." Boy, that seems a little crude when you hear the context. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." Listen, "while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And now he takes us into the fifth chapter and gives us a glimpse of the things not seen. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, ye shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Lord God, I'm getting happy. "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Therefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done. Listen to this carefully. Whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore, notice this language, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifested unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is of God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Father, thank you for the reading of this holy book, the Bible. I know what I have on my heart is intense. And God, I pray you'll touch people's lives and change them for the better. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen. You Bible students, and if you'd like to refer back, you can. But when we entered chapter number 4, we didn't read this. We are exhorted in verse number 1 to faint not. I hear a lot of people say, I will never faint. But then they faint. I hear people say, well, I don't want to ever faint. But then they faint. Are you listening? I want the rest of my life to be a life that counts for God, and that I will not faint. He goes on to say in verses 8 and 9, you're going to be troubled. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be perplexed. You're going to bear about in your body the dying of the Lord. Chad, you're going to be cast down. May I say, you're going to experience tough times. But what he's telling us is don't faint in tough times. Amen. The devil's busy attacking us, messing with us, tempting us, accusing us, whether through him or one of his imps or one of his followers. But can I give you some encouragement? His time is short. There's many giving up. There's many troubled and many stopped trying. But can I tell you, church, his time is short. I'll say this to you. Even in this land of luxury called America, we're going to suffer some despair. We're going to suffer some discouragement. We're going to suffer some difficulty. But I want you to gather yourself up to verse 17 again of chapter 4. But you know what Paul calls all this? I'm talking about all your trouble. All your affliction. All your persecution. All your perplexity. You know what Paul calls it? Your light affliction. Now I want you to know something. There was one, at one time I started to, if I could have, I'd like to have got Paul and had a little private meeting with him. and ask Him how in God's name what I'm facing in my life, I could call it light affliction. I just couldn't understand you, Paul. I've got cancer and I don't understand you calling that light. I've lost loved ones and I don't understand you calling that light. I'm being beat by my enemies. I don't understand why you call that light. How could you call that light, Paul? How could you say that, Paul? How could you? Don't you feel for me? Aren't you empathetic? Aren't you sympathetic, Paul? How could you? And some of you bearing all kinds of burden this morning. And I get up here and I say, Paul told you it's light. And if you're thinking like I'm thinking, Paul, you better explain yourself. I want to know what you mean by that. I got to understand this. I knew no. Because he said it. For we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I tell you why some of you wanting to fold your tent. I want to tell you why you're always belly aching. I want to tell you why. Because all you focusing on is now. Somebody help me preach right there. Here's the challenge and here's the message. I want us all to live our life in the light of eternity. Think eternity. I want to do something that I'll use the rest of this sermon. I'm not going to hang nobody. I need you, Tyler. I want you to look at this. Take it and take it down the aisle. I want everybody to see it as you go. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it go. Keep watching. Get it untangled there, Tyler. Come on. Atta boy. Keep watching. Keep watching. Keep on going, Tyler. Just give me enough slack. Atta boy. Keep going, Tyler. You're all right. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. There you go. Keep going. Oh, yeah. There you go, Tyler. Take her right out there. Right there, Tyler. That's good. Nobody can see that. Now, thank you. Just drop it. You're good. Just drop it. Come on up. Just lay it down. There you go. I want you to imagine something. This white here. All that goes. I just want you imagining this white going all the way to eternity. That's what I want you to imagine. That's eternity. And this black here. Not very big, brother. Jeff. In comparison to eternity, this right here is your life. Right here to right here. You know what our problem is? We living for right here. We living for this and only this. We are not living for that. Because if we were living for that, this wouldn't mean. I understand now, Rich, why he said it's my light affliction. Because see, if Paul only looked at that, I'm dying. It's so hurtful. I ain't looking for that. I'm looking at that. I say, if you look at this, you'll live one way. If you look at that, you'll look another way.
Amen.
Somebody help me. I'm gonna start preaching, but I will be back to that. Whoops. Give me a little slack there, preach. There you go. Four things and I'll be done. And if I go a little over today, I'll shorten it up tonight. But I am going to finish. Number one, living in the light of eternity. I say this, number one, it will affect my living perspective. How many of you agree with me? If I live with that in mind and not this in mind, I'll have a completely different perspective. Somebody help me. See, what I am doing right now, and you are too, we're living in this tent, in this tabernacle. This body is getting older. This body is getting weaker. Our limbs are starting to affect us. It's breaking down. But see, Paul then takes us and says, but hold it. This body is not the end. What I'm trying to tell you, God has an eternal building for you. If you look at this thing, oh Lord, I got two knee replacements. I got a pacemaker. I'm about half out of my mind. And I look at that. I'll get affected. But then I look beyond the veil and I look at the day that I'm going to get a new building.
Amen.
Woo! When I'm going to get a new body. Somebody praise him a little bit. Amen. And listen. Look at verse 2. He said in chapter 5, for in this we groan. Not only do we have an eternal building, we have an eternal, earnest burden. In this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Oh, listen to me. I've been saying all week, Lord, even so, come quickly. Lord, even so, come quickly. Lord, even so, come quickly. Because, see, I'm living in a temporal fallen body. But thank God, I'm moaning and I'm groaning and I'm burdened. But hallelujah, what a hope. Number three. This is good, where it gets juicy and good. Not only do I see an eternal body and an earnest burden, I see an excellent begetting. Whew. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also have given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given you a down payment to assure you you're going to get it all. While, listen to this quote, we are in this earthly body today, we're getting ready for the heavenly house we'll live in one day. Trials are only getting you ready for triumph.
Amen.
Difficulties are only getting you ready for delight. Pain is only getting you ready for a place. And then I see the Spirit's presence, the earnest. You know what earnest money banker? You know what it is? It's a down payment. You know what God done, Ken, to make you understand you're going to get an eternal building? I've gave you a down payment. That's sealing you to the day of redemption. He's called the Holy Ghost. Man, I said, somebody's preaching on me. I'm just about to jump out of my skin. Verse 6 through 8, chapter 5, I see an emphatic belief. Here's what he's saying. I'll try to compress it. While I'm in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. I'm confident. I know it. But when I get out of the body, I'll be present with the Lord. Woo! My supreme aim, he's saying, is to be with God. Woo! Let me give you a second thought. Number 2, in verse 9, my laboring performance. See, because I know that this is temporal, I'm not laboring for this. I am not performing for this. I am not interested in the accolades of man. I doubt that I'll ever get my name in the sword of the Lord. Or would they publish one of my sermons? And I'm sure the Christian Journal won't. But see, I'm not interested in your applause. When you get older as a preacher, and I will say this to you, and don't want to encourage and discourage you. They're going to love on you right now. You're just 30-something, and you don't intimidate them. But when you get 60-something and have the experience I have, ain't going to be no more of this, okay? Good little preacher boy. What a good sermon you preached. No. They're going to say, here's what they're going to say. If you did the best sermon you ever preached in your life, they ain't going to say nothing. But just let you foul up in their sight one time and you're going to get gobbled up. Somebody help me preach right there. Huh? See, because I know I won't be in this thing forever, I'm determined while I am in this thing to live right and perform right.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to maintain diligence. That's what he said in verse number 9. For wherefore we labor, that we rather be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Look at me, outfit. I ain't looking for your exception. You don't even have to accept me. I hope you do. But if you don't, it's water off a cat's back. Hello? See, and then 9b is a motivating desire. We may be accepted unto him. See, you say, I don't feel like serving God, because you're looking at this.
That's right.
I don't feel like getting up out of bed. I don't feel like coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like tithing. I don't feel like loving my enemy. I don't feel like worshiping. I just don't feel like, because you're living here and not here. Let me tell you a little something. You may not like this, but like Ron Garrett said, just run into this about 90 mile an hour. I'm living a standard in my life that I'm holding, but I ain't living your standard. Some of you got your standard. You're strong on one point, but you're loose as a goose on everything else. Oh, yeah, you are. I'll live around you. I know what you are. Number 3. This word gets real intense, Jeff. Verse 10. There's something looming over me. Have you ever felt like this? There's something looming over me. Got me a nervous wreck. Jeff, you ever been a nervous wreck because you got something new? You ever had something you knew was coming in your job and you thought, oh, dear God Almighty, it's just looming there. Ain't happened yet, but you know it's going to happen, right? Come on now. Chad, you ever had anything just, you know it's coming down. You know it's going to happen. You ain't no doubt it's going to happen, but you're saying, and you're a nervous wreck. You said, what's looming over you? What makes you so nervous? What got you so shook up? Verse number 10 got me shook up. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we, everyone may receive the things done in the body. Listen. According to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. That's looming. It's standing over my head. See, some of you don't want to look at that. No, no, no. That ain't going to be bad. That ain't nothing. Oh, what is it? Just a few crowns? You don't have a clue what you're talking about. See, here's why you got to. You're just concentrating on this. By the way, if it was just an award ceremony, I'd say, whoopee, I'm looking forward to it. Come here, Seth. He's a college graduate. Did you bring your Bible? The one I just gave you.
That's it.
That's it. Okay. Oh, you're carrying it. Now, what if? Look at me, Rich. What if I give him his Bible? And we awarded you for your achievement.
Thank you.
See, come out here. You're done. I took it back from him. He lost it. What you face him is not an award ceremony.
That's right.
Here you go. He's skinny. I'm keeping him skinny. See, if you think that, you're out of your mind and you don't follow the Word of God. Oh, I'm helping. See what I'm talking about. I can live for the applause of men. I can live for people's pat on the back. I can live for just, boy, good boy, good boy, good boy. And all die. Because the first time you mess up in front of that person that applauds you, that's what happened to you. But I ain't living for that. Because an eternal reward. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Standing on my head.
Yeah.
I have a reservation. Inevitable reservation that I cannot get past. And I want you all to know it's going to be an intense reckoning. Now, let me say this to you. Our sins were judged at Calvary. And by that, you can be assured you're going to heaven. But I want you to know something. I'll prove this in a minute. This thing's going to be so intense. People are going to look at the people that's got all their works burned up. Brother Denny, their works are burnt to the ground. Read 1 Corinthians 3. You won't think it's such a glamorous time. And all the works blow up and burn up. And they, to just assure them, he said, the saints shall be saved by fire. Because the only thing going for some people in this room is that they got the foundation, they've been saved, and ain't nothing else that's doing any good. Am I preaching? Don't even let anybody tell you, you're going to get a crown to go to heaven. You are not. You're going to heaven because of the blood of Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. You couldn't do that work, but he done it for you. But listen to this incredible revelation. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now I know there's a lot of different opinions on this. A lot of books have been written. I had some of my heroes that had books on it that I burn up because they're pitiful. I like them. I got their other 25 books, but that one, in my furnace because it wasn't the truth. I had one preacher behind this pulpit say this, and he ain't being back either. He ain't coming back. Here's what he taught. Dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. He used a parable completely out of context. The one of the night, you get saved early, third hour, ninth hour, 11th hour. You know what I'm talking about, that parable. And here's what he said. You can live your Christian life wickedly all the way to the 11th hour. But if you repented, then you can get full reward. That's a blasted lie. Here's what that parable means. If you got saved in the 6th hour, or saved in the 11th hour, or 9th hour, or the 12th hour, no matter how early or how late you were, if you're faithful, you'll get full reward. That's that interpretation. Let me just take your little belief. Boom. Now let me go on. I ain't done yet. Don't go to sleep yet. Don't turn your radar off yet. So let's ask yourself. And I'm going to prove this to you so you won't go out of here and talk ugly about me. I'm going to prove. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. This is easy. I ain't never had no hard time understanding this. Hello? The Bible said every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. You say, loss of what? Loss of crowns, loss of status during the millennial, and loss of status in eternity. There's degrees of punishment in hell, and there's degrees of reward in heaven. Oh, we better say, my Lord. See, if we build upon this foundation, if you go earlier, wood, hay, and stubble. Let me ask you, gentlemen, sir, ma'am, what does wood, hay, and stubble result from? Where does it come from? It comes from the old creation. The works of the old creation. What is our wood, hay, and stubble? It's the works of the flesh. So I want you to know something. Every work of the flesh, since that was bad, since you got saved, is going through the fire. Every bad work. What is the good work? He called it. He said it. Precious stones. Gold. Where's gold come from? Not on the surface. Down deep. Placed there by God. Can I tell you something, friends? God put something down deep in my life. And here's it. A good work is everything performed from the inside out. A bad work is those things that's performed from the outside and out. It goes. And it'll burn up. Your moral life. Oh, a lot of people. This is me, Tim. A lot of people don't want to stand before their moral life. But if they're going to get an incorruptible crown, they're going to have to keep their morality straight. I know those that argue against what I'm preaching, they got some skeleton in their closet since they got saved that they don't want to appear before. Whether you like this or not, you're going to appear for it. Every idle word, every time you gossiped, every time you try to destroy a man of God, it's gone through the fire. Lastly, a legitimate persuasion. And this is taken clear out of context because you don't know the context. You won't take this in the right context because you don't want to face what I'm about ready to tell you. It said, knowing the terror of the Lord. And here's what My buddy Kenny Baldwin said this. Everybody says, that's hell. That ain't hell. That's what we're going to face one day. Why is it, Denny, our tears won't even be wiped away and for at least 1,007 years? That's terrifying to me. It's terrifying to me to think I could have been faithful and been a ruler over many things, and I'm out there just by myself during the millennium, and I could have been ruling. Because you ain't looking for this. You're looking at this. And I'll tell you what, I'm coming down, outfit. I'll tell you what, yes, I tell you to stay pure. Yes, I tell you to stay right. Yes, I tell you, I plead with you. I beg you to live your Christian life. I beg for you not to be a gossip, not to be a sower of discord. I beg you never to touch alcohol. I beg you never to smoke a weed after you've been saved. I beg you not to be living for this right here. I beg you not to be living for that right there. I beg you for live for this right here. If you live for this right here, you wouldn't make the decision you make in here. Somebody help me preach right there. Oh, let some of you go fluff it off and go out and say, I just don't agree with the preacher. That's okay. Listen to me. That's okay. Because he's this preacher you got to stand before. You better look at me, buddy. You ain't standing. But you can disagree all you want to me. You can undermine me all you want to. You can be a plague in my side till Jesus comes. But that's just going to be for a little while. Somebody ought to shout. I'm going to close this up. I'm going to talk to the unsaved. What shall profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? This is you, unsaved. You know why you're not saved? You living for this. You know why you ain't saved? You just care about this. You care about your wine. You care about your friends. You care about the crowd. You care about all that junk of the world. But what you don't understand, there's an eternal hell, which has degrees of punishment in it. And you better be living for that. You better get saved. If I was in this room and I was lost, and somebody put this illustration up before me, I wouldn't let him get done preaching. I'd run to the altar. I'd scream out to God. I'd repent of my sins. I'd ask God to save me. If there's Christians in this room and you've been living for this, and all you want's a little bit of applause, and all you want's a little bit of somebody to make you think you're something. You know what's wrong with some of you? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm flat preaching. They bragged on you so much. They bragged on you so much and put you on such a pedestal. You're pitiful. You have nothing but their little pedestal. Daddy's told you how good a boy you are. Daddy's told you how good a girl you are. Mama's told you what good preacher you are. That's what they based it on. I wanted loving Daddy and loving Mama. But I want you to know I want him to tell me that you live for me despite the world. Kim, what are we going to do? We're going to live our rest of our life for this? Or are we going to live the rest of our life for this? I'm done. Stand with me. I'm not even going to ask you if you're saved. If you aren't, you ought to be on this altar. I'm not even going to ask you if you're a Christian living for that black. I'm just going to ask you if God touched you to come to the altar. Father, thank you for what you've done this morning. Lord, help us this morning. God, touch everybody as they come sing for me. Do something for me.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Oh yes. Lead her to Jesus. Lead her to Jesus. Lead her to Jesus.
Just as
you are.
I am.
Oh, well, quit putting your pretense up there. You ain't near as good as you think you are. And you ain't as bad as the devil says you are.
A conflict, many a doubt.
Oh, bless you, sister. Amen, Sister Brian. Yeah, Sister Brian. Worshiping, Sister Brian.
O Lamb of God, I come.
Keep singing. We got somebody being dealt with here. Yeah. That's kind of just real softly, Lois. Real softly. Real softly. Real softly. Real softly. Real softly. Folks are doing business. I don't want them to be distracted. Just as you are. Don't try to put on no airs this morning. God knows who you are anyhow. Tell you what I am. I ain't nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. Wasn't for grace, I'd be in hell. Wasn't for the cross, I'd be burning. It's eternal business here. This ain't the little black part. To us, Sister Tina. Let me give you a mic. Yellow, Roger. Talk to us.
This is Layla Johnson. She's been sitting in front of me for a couple of weeks, and I noticed that she didn't raise her hand because I peeked. one time when the preacher had everybody do that, and I've been praying about her getting saved, and she wasn't here last week, and today I looked around, I didn't see her, and I thought, oh, where is she? Where is she? And I looked back, and I saw her, and I was going to come, and I was going to talk to her after church because the preacher didn't have everybody raise their hand, and then I went up to pray, and she walked right past me, and she said she wanted to get saved. So she just got saved today, Layla Johnson, 11 years old.
Thank you. Be seated. See, that's living with eternity in your mind.